Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. This is a radio show where three astrologers gather on the internet to talk to you about the aspects that are coming in the week ahead. And the week that we're going to be talking about is the week of November 9th through the 16th. And I am Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, sitting here at my bright red desk. And I am joined today by my two ill colleagues. They are both sick. So if they sound a little weird, it's because they have colds. That's why I get to talk. All right. And who's out there that I want to add to my list of two astrologers that I work with every week and we talk about the aspects?
Yes, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from North Dakota when I can speak. Yes, and we have Mark.
Mark Wolf.
Mark.
We're on the west side of Manhattan. And trying to take care of an upper respiratory condition.
Yeah. So I have sick friends on the phone with us today. So they're going to talk, but if they make strange noises into the phone, you understand why. Because we're having the shift in the cold. And we're also having a couple of big aspects this week. So I know I noticed a few, and I know Heather and Mark did. We were talking about it before we went on. So what did you guys notice? Who wants to go first? Mark, why don't you take it because you're... Mark may hang up on us because he's really wiped and he needs to go to bed and go to sleep and get better.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Hit it first. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the big one this week, we mentioned it last week, and we won't pass it up this week either, is this Saturn square Pluto. And that'll be on the 15th, which is Sunday, right?
Yep. This Sunday.
And... same day, it's interesting, Sun will square Neptune. So we get kind of both of those going on at the same time. Saturn square Pluto, I mean, in many ways, it's already in effect. You know, these things move slowly, and Saturn is already grinding its way into that square. So all this, and it sounds a theme that's going to carry us all the way through summer, because when Saturn retrogrades, it squares Pluto again, and then when it goes direct, it'll square one more time. And when it squares again, at the end of the summer, it'll go August, right?
Yeah, end of August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, end of August. By then, Saturn will be in early Libra again, and we'll have Pluto in early Capricorn, and Uranus moving into Aries. So we begin to see this T-square in cardinal signs forming. And that raises the stakes. So we're getting a prelude to that this week with this square Pluto. And, you know, it's the big issue of authority versus power and how we use power and all of that. And then when we throw in this little Sun square Neptune on Sunday at the same time, it adds kind of a who me question to it. You know, who me?
So I didn't mean to do that. Yeah.
There's some conflict with authority. You're going to hear some part of it going, who me? I'm not really here. Don't point at me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... so that's a big one. And I remember, Heather, you were noticing the Jupiter-Mars thing going on.
Yes. I've noticed that today there was such a lineup in fixed signs that, you know, I said, let's try to make it win-win instead of me-me. But I found that a lot of people were, that the focus on the self is enormous. And there's interesting split between... the Scorpio, we have Venus now in Scorpio that's joined Ceres, Sun, and Mercury in this very introspective, guarded, kind of broody, but also happy to project onto the bad guys. You notice that when all the planets went to Scorpio, the political parties stopped trying to make nice, pretend they were working for bipartisan support.
They just got
and
nasty.
They just said, you know, we're going for it. Tooth and nail on our side, you go for a tooth and nail on your side, and, you know, whatever happens. So they've got this lineup in Scorpio that's not even trying to be nice. We can be nice because Scorpio can be profoundly nice, profoundly caring, but not. But it's never just diplomatic. You know, if it's nice, it means it. So that lineup in Scorpio, which is inward, fighting today with the moon in Leo and, you know, all this month with Mars in Leo, which hates to be ignored and wants to make a grand stage. So the Mars in Leo, I'm seeing people pulling lots of, you know, little stunts today, yesterday, and all, with that Mars in Leo anytime for the next few months, 6 months actually, where if the person feels ignored or underappreciated, they tend to make dramatic gestures. Now, nothing shuts the Scorpio energy down faster than a dramatic gesture and someone asking for attention. So there's, you know, there's a push and pull even between those sides of ourselves, and I'm seeing it happening out there. I hear, you know, a story today of teachers, three teachers complained to me that their students were asking for attention in really obnoxious ways. So with the defenses up, it's often easier to ask for attention in a negative way, but you don't get the attention you want that way. You have to ask for it in a positive win-win. You know, I get attention, I give you attention. It all works. To notice when people are pushing others away, when they really do need attention, and help learn to help them ask for it in a nicer way. With that belligerent energy, and I think that deepens over the next few weeks as Mars moves into a direct opposition with Jupiter. And Mars opposed Jupiter is just, you know, it hates to lose. It will fight to win. It's competitive. It's, if you can keep your sense of humor, it's a good pillow fight. But it's in fixed signs, so it's really can... the arguments won't tend to blow up. They'll tend to stalemate. They'll stick their feet in and push off. And it will take a lot of creativity on our part when we feel that squaring off begin to happen, when it's your will against another person's will. It's just not going to go anywhere. But if you say, how can you reframe it to a win-win? No one's going to agree to lose with that aspect. But they might agree to try something different. So it's going to take some real creativity when we feel that squaring off, even if it's over the breakfast table or over, and again, this added defensiveness in the next few days, midweek, as the moon goes into Virgo, and the tendency will be for everybody to hear anything you say as a criticism. So you may say, please pass the salt, and they'll say, why, don't you like how I pass the salt? You know, but you don't like my salt. You don't like my food. And watch the natural defensiveness kick in, and laugh at it. Don't try to, you know, if you get defensive about they're getting defensive, it'll just compound itself. But create a little more space in there and dialogue with it and say, you know, that's not what I meant. You know, and see if you can work it into a third perspective. That and the moon, the sun and Jupiter, the sun and Mercury are squaring Neptune, Chiron, and Jupiter. And I'm personally feeling that as feeling extra permeable. With all this, you know, verbal defensiveness on one side, I am feeling unusually permeable to germs.
I was going to say the germs permeated you, yeah.
Germs permeated the heck out of me. But I'm also feeling other people's moods a lot more than usual, and that makes me want to spend more time alone. It's an interesting process. What have you seen, Anne?
Well, I kind of have been really focusing on that Saturn-Pluto piece,
yeah.
Just because that's square to me. You know, it's the overarching underlying thrum of the anxiety that people seem to be running with. I thought it was interesting that the health care bill got passed on the Friday, and it was Saturn on the midheaven of the U.S. chart, the Sibley chart. You know, it was right at 01,
yep.
Right on the midheaven. So I went, oh, there's a good little point for the midheaven for that chart that I like so much. And I think it was,
yep.
You know, the energy of the Neptune station last week was exhaustion, and permeability because of the Jupiter, you know, because Neptune stopped in the sky, so everybody was really tired Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday they started to get a little kick up, and then now we're doing the permeability business with the Sun square. So I've been looking at it and finding a lot of old patterns, you know, where you run into something and you say, well, do you see this pattern? Do you understand this pattern? Do you understand where it comes from?
Yep.
And people go, oh, I never thought of that before. And that's, to me, what the, you know, with the Sun in Scorpio squaring that Jupiter and Neptune, people are actually getting, you know, maybe this isn't what I really want to do. I don't like that vision or that version. And certainly on the healthcare bill, we're seeing it, but on your own life, too, where that someone is saying, well, you know, what I really want you to do is this, and you're saying, you know, I don't really think that works for me. I think what works for me is this. And the Sun square to the Jupiter-Neptune is really about clarifying your dream from theirs. So, you know, your dream is this, their dream is that. You know, they want you to do their dream, and you're like, no, I don't really want to do your dream. I want to do my dream. And so that belligerence can come from that, too, because there's a pushing to get people to comply with your vision of what they should do. So I had somebody the other day, and they were like, well, I want them to do it my way. I'm like, I know you do. Do they want to do it your way? No. How do I make them? I said, you don't. You know, and that's also the Saturn-Pluto, that somehow I'm going to hold your head down, and I'm going to kick you and make you scream uncle, and then you're going to get up. And, it, you know, it's that energy of I can beat you on this, you know, Joe Lieberman saying, oh, I'm going to put a filibuster in. It's like, okay, Joe, you sit in that. I think they should make the filibuster be they have to talk for 10 hours or however long. No, I'm going to do a filibuster. It's okay, stand here and talk then.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's that I can do this. I'm going to do this. It's like, okay, go ahead. You know, it's that energy of I can if I want to. And I find it, you know, the belligerence in
right.
it, but it's more of a defending their right to do something as opposed to what, it, you know, not necessarily thinking about what
really
might be good for the other person, but that their vision is right and no one else's is. That's the part I kind of have trouble with this. But I also am like, well, okay, go ahead and be belligerent. We're going to have Mars go retrograde for 6 months. We'll see if you soften up a little. Because we can't maintain that level of anger and have it be healthy. It just doesn't,
right.
Our bodies can't stand it. It just doesn't work for us. So I think that it, and then I noticed Mercury goes into Sag, so everybody's going to be really talking trash. You know, it's like, I don't like you.
They're going to be talking. Yes, there's going to be a lot of, in quotes, you know, sentences that begin, frankly. When Mercury goes into Sag. That are, you know, you have to remember when Mercury goes into Sagittarius, just because you see it doesn't mean you have to say it.
Right.
To ask yourself, is it not only is it true, but is it helpful?
Mm-hmm.
That the truth we see may only be a fraction of what's really going on there. It may not be wrong, but it's right, it's true. Yeah, but it's not, it's only one thin layer of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to find out what's going on underneath that. So I'm a little more worried with that Mercury in Sagittarius. We tend to get influxed with too much information and have a hard time sorting it out and have people spouting off in the name of truth and just talking diatribe.
Right.
So, yeah.
They say my
but
truth
it does
is
open
the right
people's
truth.
Mind.
As opposed to, well, that's your truth. My truth is this. Yeah, and people get really bent out of shape when you're not listening. The other part is they get very angry if they think you're not listening to the truth. I've had more really good fights on Mars and Leo than on just about any other sign, because people really, they think they're the king and they're right. So it's not a dialogue, it's a monologue, and you're to listen to them, not necessarily talk yourself. So it's a little bit of a disruptive energy. So, Mark, what do you think? You've been quiet over there. I know you've been breathing. That's a good thing. with your lungs in the way they are.
Yeah. Well, I think it's unfortunate that Mars going into Leo is running into this obstinacy and, you know, this kind of tough way of playing it out at first, because Mars is going to be in Leo for so long. But hopefully when it goes retrograde, that'll ease up on this and we'll get kind of a fresh start. So there'll be like Mars in Leo part one, Mars in Leo part two, and then part three. And by then, maybe we'll all have a little more sense of humor about Mars and Leo. But right now, it's true. There's a lot of polarizing going on and a lot of grandstanding. That the whole connection with Jupiter is going to bring out the grandstanding. So, you know, the main thing is don't get drawn into the dramas. You know, if you see somebody's grandstanding, okay, you know, let them grandstand. And because that's all it is, you know, showboating, you know.
And one of my favorite people is some of this combination right now with the a Mars in Leo and a Venus in Scorpio. And how, you know, yes, her personal life was always a drama and a crisis from birth. But she became the crisis counselor at an emergency room. And no matter what walked in that door, she could handle it. And amazing stories of drama.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Being the crisis counselor in the emergency room, it gave her a place to go with that part of her that was sort of addicted to drama.
Yeah.
And she was phenomenal. She was so good with these emergencies. That the Mars and Leo can handle the emergencies. They just tend to make emergencies out of things that aren't. So it gives us the energy, I think, to handle it better than we might at other times. We just have to watch that we don't try to make a mountain out of a molehill just because we're bored.
Right. Or you can go and hang out in the emergency room and watch people come in, shot
yeah,
and stuff, you know,
real.
And have a little fun on a Saturday uh-huh. night. You know, you're kind of bored. Go hang out in the emergency room. I think that's a great idea. Because
that'd be helpful.
Like,
yeah,
you're like, okay, I'm here. There's an emergency. Okay, cool. You know, and it's really giving it a full thing. I hadn't thought of it. That's a really good. Because the Venus in Scorpio is totally going to need the intensity.
Right.
And then the Mars wants the drama. So it's intense drama. So that's what we're all going to be having is intense drama. How cool is that? You know?
How cool is that?
Not so much when you're on the receiving end of it, but when you're watching it, it kind of can be fun. You know, these are the days where people are going to have, like, rip-roaring fights in public, throw beer on each other's heads,
uh-huh.
you know, and run away. I hate you. And, you know, hopefully not a lot of guns. You know, we've been having a few too many guns lately, but that energy of, you know, you're not the worth the beer in this glass, and then they dump it on your head. You know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, we're not talking to you anymore. It's that drama for the sake of the higher version, and it's also the drama for the looking, okay? There's a woman in New York, well, you guys all probably know her anyway, Ellen Barkin, and she was married to Ron Perlman, and they had a pretty nasty falling out divorce, and he kicked her out of the house, and she walked down Park Avenue, and the photographers took her, and, you know, and she was pretty mad, and so she's in a restaurant downtown, and he's in the same restaurant, and they hadn't seen each other in a while, and he walks by her on the way to the bathroom, and she stands up and dumps a beer on his head, and, you know, I guess he kind of said hi or something, and so, you know, she apologized to the bartender, and he goes, oh, no problem, I read the papers. He deserved the beer, you know. And it's that kind of drama. It's like this kind of
that
high.
That is a Mars and Leo.
It was
yes.
a total Mars and Leo kind yes. of thing. I just dumped a beer on his head. I was so mad at him. And it's that
uh-huh.
kind in a restaurant, you know, a very fancy restaurant downtown. So it's that kind. But the waiter was very nonplussed. It's no problem. I read the papers. I know what happened. You know, it's that kind of energy where everybody's going to feel like, you know, and your job is to say, okay, what's the higher version of this? I certainly can dump a beer on their head, but psychologically, what am I trying to integrate here? Because clearly, they're really irritating me for some reason that I'm supposed to be getting in touch with. And if you can do it that way, that's also a good way to use that energy. You don't have to dump a beer on their head. You simply have to say, it must be a higher form. Let me try the higher form now. So,
right.
Yeah. But it's
and
hard
it also says that people would rather that you dump the beer on them than ignored them.
Yes,
so
they would. Yeah.
If you want to ignore somebody, do it judiciously. Be careful who you ignore and how. Like, you know, the gestures, all the symbolism of the gestures will, you know, reek. And it's, you know, better to just be polite and quiet if you don't want to feed a fire. If you ignore someone, they will tend to escalate rather than
be quiet.
calm down. Right. You can get out of there, you know, say something polite and leave, but if you ignore them, that will be taken as much of a gesture as or they may be jerking your chain and somebody might be ignoring you and they're trying to make a statement to you, and you can either buy into it and chase after them. They may make you play the Mars and Leo. See, I don't have to listen to you. You're just getting hysterical. I was just ignoring you. You know? You can buy out of that pattern and just point it out to them. You can break the drama and say, hey, I see the scripture playing. I see that you're trying to ignore me, so I will chase after you. And I choose not to play that right now. Come talk to me when you want to meet me fair and square. So, you know, decide if you want to play up the melodrama, but you can, or make it funny, or but see if you can catch your choices. When you notice yourself kind of like the cassette has plugged in and you're having a knee-jerk response to somebody, take a break. Walk away. And we'll tell the Congress to do the same.
Yeah, they all want to hit each other. Maybe we can tell Rush Limbaugh to take a break. But, you know, what are you going to do?
One of the things that we didn't talk too much about last week was Neptune going direct. And I noticed that when Neptune went direct, we had the killing at Fort Hood, mm-hmm. and the guy in somewhere in the south that shot everybody at work.
Right.
That sometimes when a planet turns direct, everybody goes like, oh boy, it's moving forward. But as it's turning, and this is just starting to get that momentum coming, we see all that's been brooding or sort of twisted while it was retrograde. Most of us just feel it like a clearing. But Neptune's illusion and delusions, especially around religious issues, but illusion and delusions that, you know, the negative side of Neptune, which can get lost in the fog, can come out where that illusions that becomes clear to the rest of us. And this time it happened to buy in that illusion coming out, the insanity surfacing, just as all these belligerent aspects kicked in. So some really tough ways that happened last week, and I was sorry to see that. I'm sorry we didn't mention it before.
Well, yeah, and the whole terrorism thing, it's like, you know, the guy was just very depressed. I mean, maybe he mentally ill.
Yeah.
Maybe he was, you know, maybe
there's
he
was. Layers of that there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, let's just call it what it is. It's a crazy person with a gun that was able to shoot people, and a horrible
right.
thing. But it also is not, not the right word for it. It's an understanding of.
And was using religious reasoning behind it, but that's not why he did it.
No, you know, you kill people. I mean, he gave away all his stuff. He knew what he was doing. You know,
yep.
committing suicide. A lot of times when people are getting ready to commit suicide, they give away their possessions, and he did. He gave it all to his neighbors. So when you see that, it's like, that's a conscious choice. Now, he didn't
yeah.
get killed. You know, he got shot, but he didn't actually get killed. So, you know, and a lot of people, you know, when they're very depressed, it's called death by cop, you know, where they attack the cops, and the cops will shoot them, and it's suicide by cop. It's kind of a gruesome topic, but it gives you, you know, if you can't do it yourself, you can get somebody to shoot you, and then you're dead, and then
uh-huh.
you're out of your misery. So I just
right.
really feel much more, you know, for the families of the people that were killed. I mean, I feel certainly for him and his brothers and stuff, but,
yeah.
you know, nobody listened. Nobody paid attention. They kept giving
oh.
him promotions and saying, yeah, yeah, well, you're really valuable, you know, so don't leave us. The war comes home.
When he said, no, I need to get out of here, you know, people that there's a reason why.
Right, and it's also,
but.
That's the whole part about the belligerent, you know, we talked before about the belligerent is I can't take it anymore, I got to go. And if you find yourself
right.
getting to that state, do recognize that rather than blowing at the person, what you're really feeling is this enormous need to protect yourself. Because the boundaries are very porous, and whatever that person is doing, they're poking at your boundaries. So you have to give yourself permission to move forward and shift in a different direction, and then that will let you get into a different place. But it's very hard when you're in the throes of it to say, okay, you know, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed now, and I need to kind of shift this. But It's big. It's definitely big. So, at any rate, why don't we look and see if we have some callers? I think we do. And our phone number here for callers is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And we have a caller. Let's see if the magic computer works. Are you there, caller number 718?
Is that me?
That's you. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Anna in Queens.
Hi, Anna in Queens. How are you?
Okie dokie, not bad. I'm about to head out for the emergency room.
Really?
What your guys are
You're going to go sit in the emergency room and watch people come in?
I tell you, it's
a real kick on a Saturday night. I was there the other day. And you really see some interesting stuff.
Hey, I got Venus in Scorpio, so I'm going.
You're going. Okay, that works. Cool.
Who needs to watch trauma? Go volunteer in the emergency room.
Go hang out in the emergency room, right. All right,
okay.
So how can we help you?
All right, listen.
Before you go to the emergency room, right?
Yeah, before I head out. Mm-hmm. Before, I was wondering if you guys could give me, the heads up for what the hell is going on with my chart, because things that haven't been, too hot lately. Mm-hmm. And when I say lately, I mean, the last 5 years. So,
okay, when were you born, Anna?
Okay, October 23rd. 1955 in Beja, Portugal. At 9.
At,
October 23rd. What, 19 what?
1955.
When?
9:14 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And where?
Beja, Beja. Portugal. That's in Portugal.
Okay.
9:14 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this, what is it, Saturn-Pluto conjunction, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I got Saturn in my 12th house in Scorpio.
You do?
Yes, baby. Like you, right? Don't
like
you?
Me, I'm a Saturn in Scorpio.
I was listening to your thing this morning.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I'm saying, oh, shit, who's going to die? Oh, boy, here goes the thing.
Now, don't go saying that, you know. You never know. Hopefully nobody's going to die.
No.
But a lot of times when we have the Saturn stuff, we do lose somebody, yeah.
Yeah, well, that just popped out at me, you know.
Yeah, All right, so let's see what's going on with you and why you're having a crappy time. Well, you know what?
It's not so much why is it that I'm having a crappy time, because it's kind of self-explanatory by now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, is it going to get any better already?
Heather, you want to take this one?
The answer is no. I mean, It can get better. What it is that it won't stay the same. You're heading into a time, I think, right now your progressed moon is coming back to conjunct your own moon in the next 6 months. So there's a time of really returning to yourself and remembering who you are and how you're getting on track. Your progressed Mercury, Pluto is just pulling away from your progressed Mercury, where it's been sitting conjunct, sort of rotor-rooting your psyche for the last year.
Oh, yeah.
But you were born with your Mars at 6 degrees of Libra. So your Mars is about to take, you know, Saturn will be coming to conjunct your Mars.
And
Pluto will be coming
to
Spirit. And there's a lot of stuff in the next couple of years. So it says, you know, trying to stay safe isn't the point right now. It's how can you really dive into this transformation? And you know, it is time for you to go work in an emergency room. It is time for you to take on something that is transformative to you, where you take what's been a problem and make it your gift. So when you say things haven't been good, I mean, you have your whole life, there's a lot in this chart that says
listen,
to me that this is a lifetime of karma slogging, that you're here, that you kind of walked into this life saying, hey, could I burn up a lot of karma in a short period of time? And the universe said, are you sure? And you said, yes, no, I mean it. And so you've had one karma slogging experience after the other.
Absolutely. I'm in a constant state of transformation. Like every few years, bam, there it goes again.
Constant. Mm-hmm. And you got that. You know, the advantage is, you know, less than 2 years ago, you went through a progressed lunar new moon cycle and sort of finished paying off one chunk of debt. And now it's like, okay, I went through all of that. What did I learn from that? And how can I make something of it? And so there's something about composting your experience, taking the wisdom out of it and making something of it in this next phase of your life. Like, what have you been in training for with all of those experiences? And that the transformation is like, how do you help other people transform? Or how do you take this experience of yours and look at what you've been training for and go for it?
Wow. That's one.
Does that make any sense?
That's not a very small question, is it?
No, but you have time to answer it, you know. So when we're looking at it and we're saying, you know, if you think of your life in cycles, you know, and there are bigger and smaller cycles.
Yeah.
One of the cycles, one of the seasons that you were born into was fall turning into winter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what your job is to say, okay, I was born as fall turned into winter. And, you know, right after I was born, a year after I was born, I was a Scorpio for 30 years. And then I turned into a Sag, and I've been a Sag for 23, seeking the higher truth, looking for the bigger vision, trying to understand it. And in about 2 or 3 years from now, you're going to be in the position of saying, you know, let me, and actually I would start now because you're having a trine coming. The sun is coming to trine your Jupiter and Pluto. And it's about saying, okay, I came in with this chart that said I really wanted to clear karma with Saturn square Pluto Jupiter, and I want to now take what I've learned and teach it to other people or share it, send it out into the world, you know. So you can sit in the emergency room and pat the people's hands and say they'll be with you shortly. You know,
I really think I've been there for a while already.
Yes, you have been. You've been there about 5 years.
In the way that I relate to other people.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like becomes a counselor of sorts.
Yes, you are. And I would just say, you know, what I would just say to the universe is like, okay, I get the fact that everywhere I go, on some level, I'm going to run into someone who's in a little pain, and I'm going to share my wisdom with them.
But that's
and
the
even
North
if it's,
Node in Sagittarius, is it not?
Yes, that is the North Node. I'm going to share what I've learned, and I'm just going to look at them, and I'm going to say, bop, 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 and then I'm going to go on my way.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm inspired to say it, or you know, like what'll happen sometimes is, you know, just turn to someone and say, you know, I don't really know if this means anything to you, but bop, 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 and then walk away, having delivered the information without necessarily having an ongoing conversation. But it's understanding that one of the things that's happening is your psychic ability is going to get really strong, and it's about putting it to practical use. And you're ready now. You've been ready for a while, but what's been happening is your confidence has been growing. And what Heather said about your new moon, once you have your lunar return, you're going to feel, rather than the moon in Capricorn, like I don't have any wisdom, you're going to feel like, you know, I've been really working hard in life and I understand a lot of things I didn't know before. And now Saturn's in the house of my, you know, my career, my purpose, why I'm here. And it's in the house of working with the collective. So even if you're on the bus and someone's looking like they have a bad day and you say, you know, you look like you're having a bad day. Can I help in any way? That will help your chart enormously because Saturn in Scorpio, part of your job is to help people transform and just kind of take it as assignments, you know, as they come to you. And then once that moon, progressed moon happens, it should calm down a lot. But it also is taking the wisdom.
You're talking about next year's progress moon?
Your progress moon right now is 16 cap and it gets to 22 cap in 6 months.
Okay.
And in about 4 months, it gets to your Venus. So when it gets to your Venus,
and that's what I was saying about it coming back to where it was when you were born.
Where you were born,
right?
So you're going to be you're finishing up a 30-year cycle right now, and when you wrap up a 30-year cycle, it makes it feel like things shift, and you really it does things shift. You're starting a new moon.
And does that cause one to be like a little bit less intensely emotional?
You're always going to be emotional because you got all that water placement.
Yeah.
You know that. You know you're never going to get away with that Saturn in Scorpio and Venus in Scorpio in the 12th. you know, you've got a psychic connection. You tune into stuff on a big level. It also squares Pluto-Jupiter.
Sun-Neptune conjunction that you're always picking up from other people.
Yeah, you're always picking up other people's stuff.
Yeah.
So you've got to work with the psychic in a different way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that one of the pieces that you've been working on, and I think you've been doing a good job with it, and that the Capricorn progressed moon may be helping you, is noticing what's your stuff and what's other people's stuff, that you tend to feel the emotions of people around you.
Yeah, you are so right.
And so if you can learn to notice, like, oh, that's not my headache. Someone else in the room has a headache. You know, or I'm feeling their sadness because they're not admitting they're sad. And I think that you did that as a child so much that you felt the feelings for the people around you that couldn't admit they felt them. Because there was so many hidden pieces going on in your family dynamics that,
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, what you were going to say.
Go ahead.
Yep.
No, I was going to say, that's probably where I've had, it's almost like a habit, but it's more of a reflex of feeling people's emotions for them almost, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
So it's time for you to sort of hand them back or to notice it, let it go through you, but you don't need to feel it for them. You know, you don't need to double the suffering in the world.
Yeah, don't upset
you can
over
notice
it.
What they're feeling.
Yeah.
You know, you can notice what they're feeling and just let it wash through you and don't feel it for them. Let them do their own homework. But sometimes it's helpful that you notice it, you know, like, oh, are you feeling sad? You know, do you need a hug? Rather than suddenly you feeling, like, if you suddenly, you know, feel yourself feeling an emotion or getting upset about something that's not really bothering you. Like, I want to, is somebody here upset about this? You know, are you upset about that? And let them talk. You know, you can use it to diagnose, like, what's going on in the room without having to double up the feelings. Because you've got enough of your own emotions. You don't need to feel everything.
Oh, no crap.
It's also when you, because you are so tuned in, you've got that little sponge thing going. That's why when you're sitting next to them on the bus and you pick up something, or you're sitting next to them on the subway, if you just lean over and say, I have no idea if this means anything to you, and you go, blah, 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 and then you give it back to them and you walk away. In the sense of, it's New York, you can get away with a lot here. But
yeah,
it also is saying, you know, like, I mean, I have one friend who's very, very psychic, you know, and she's got a similar configuration to you. And, you know, and she's particularly tuned into envy. And so when Lorraine's riding on a bus, you know, and she feels envy or whatever, like there was one mother who was, like, the child was, everybody was cooing and gooing over the kid. And, you know, and the mother is just sitting there seething and exhausted and tired. And Lorraine leaned over the mother and she said, don't you want to kill them? You know, don't you feel envious? And the woman kind of looked at her. And by naming the emotion, the woman was able to go, yeah, I do, you know. And Lorraine named it and calmed it down and took it away. And that's one of the gifts of your chart, because with your Libra sun and your Neptune joined to it, you're able to name, you're able to
that
pick it up,
so,
and then you're able to name it.
That is so true. I constantly find myself verbalizing for others what they somehow cannot express for themselves.
Yeah. And so your job, you know, your job is just to kind of know that that's what you're, one of your purposes on earth. You know, you did it for your family of origin, but you don't have to do it in a mean way. You just have to do it in a, oh, you know, that's not mine, that's yours, isn't it? Isn't this your, aren't these your gloves? You know, isn't this your sad feeling? I'm picking this up, and I don't know if this is, whose is this? Whose gloves are these? And you kind of name them, and then someone can claim them. Or maybe not, but they've at least been named. You know?
Actually, they're quite good about acknowledging what I'm saying,
because,
and it's a little scary.
Well, because a lot of times people are having the feeling, but they don't really know what to do with it. And when you name it, what you've done is you've labeled it, and you put it in a little box, and then they can do something with it, because they maybe didn't even know what it was, but they knew it was something. And so that's also very helpful, you know, with
your
chart.
Yeah, but you know what the drawback is, too? Is that the drawback in all this is that you feel good at the time when it's happening, but then they keep coming back. Like,
well, that's why it's nice.
They're relying on you for you to somehow fix something, because it's like,
well,
something
you
that
can,
they
that's
would not.
Again,
huh? Huh?
Part of your moon in Capricorn can be so over-responsible. And, you know, but again, the key is for you not to do their homework for them. To not, you know, you don't feel the feeling for them, you don't do the work for them, or they don't get what needs to get done. So if you can learn to, you know, say, I noticed this, how are you going to handle that? And hand it back to them. You can walk them through it, but don't do their work for them. It's their work for a reason.
Yeah,
and otherwise it will be
training. Yeah, I'm learning that. Okay, let me ask you guys about the quintessential question in astrology.
Okay.
What about the love thing? Is that ever going to happen again, goddammit?
What about the what?
The love thing.
The love thing.
Oh, are you ever going to have love? Actually, you've got some pretty good...
About the sex thing. Forget about the love.
Yes, no, some of those aspects are pretty hot.
I was
going to
say, your progress Mars is coming to your Venus, and you're about to have moon on the nodes coming to your moon. So I would say we can have some love thing. What partner are you on, third, second?
Let me see. I've never been married.
Never been married. How
no,
many?
Just,
well, we don't always count marriage these days because sometimes
no,
it's just sharing
no,
the
but
end.
I've lived in sin for many years, so that counts.
Yeah,
as one.
Yeah, sharing. We're talking
yeah.
sharing assets. You know, live in the house, share the bank account, pool the money.
See.
How many
one,
of those?
I'd be like two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're looking at Saturn coming to your 11th house cusp, and it gets there next fall. At the same time, your progressed Mars comes to your Venus. So I think you have a very nice possibility for a good, serious relationship next fall when Saturn gets to about 11.
No, I would ask you to yep, I agree that those are the opportunities. I want you to notice that with that Venus-Saturn conjunction in the 12th house, that sometimes you're not so easy on relationships. You can tend to test relationships instead of nurture them. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, I think of a relationship as like a little seedling. And the Venus-Saturn conjunction usually, if we could go back to some place in the first couple of years of your life where it wasn't really safe for you to love. And so there's a part of you that kind of tends like, I don't really believe this is going to work out. So let me test and see if it'll work. Third date, and you're testing. So if...
Well, as a Venus-Saturn girl, I vote for that, you know? I have the same aspect. You test them on the third date, you know?
You watch them, but you don't necessarily test them. This is where I would say, okay, advice to you guys, that if you see a relationship as like a little seedling, like a tree... Once it gets big enough to be an oak tree, then you can hang the swing and the treehouse on it. But if you try to put the treehouse on the little tiny sapling, it tends to fall over and fall apart. So
yes, but see
what can you do
I'm
speak in that
to
early
here.
Stage?
Yeah, one of the things that happens is when we get naked, we get really attached because of all that friggin' water in our chart. So we have to
take it on
we
the
have
third
to,
date.
Well, that's what happens now in New York, Heather. You're in Dakotas right. now. You know? We have to get naked. And before we get naked, we have to know if they're, like, worth it or not. If they're not worth it, we're going to get all messy. So we have to test.
You have to find some excuses. Get to know them a little bit better before you get naked with them.
I know, but it's hard, you know, because they're like, if you're not going to, because then they say to you, like, when are you going to get naked? And you're like, look, I don't really know. I have to know how I feel about you before I get naked. All right, you have to agree to be tested. And then it gets really messy. It's very hard.
That's what I say. It's like, can you slow it down and nurture the relationship a little bit more first? Give me a little bit more of a chance.
Wait a minute, because I have, slow it down. I haven't even dated in 7 years, so, okay?
Right. I don't think you tend to trust relationships or trust how do you meet people. And I also think you've been slogging through karma, and there really wasn't time for a relationship.
Yeah, that's
true. But we say that the aspects are opening up, and that if you sort of, you're reaching out into your life, and instead of, you know, just sort of dealing with what's been on your plate, I think you're going to be a little bit more proactive and see what you want to do with what you've learned, not how do you just survive what you're learning. And as you get a little bit more proactive, you have a chance of meeting a different group of people than you've met before.
That's true.
And if you want to make it a relationship, you can. But that's going to be up to you.
Yeah.
And how do you make it, take it from not a relationship to a possible relationship is how do you nurture it and keep an eye on it. You know, don't be blind. Don't be, your chart can go from too trusting with that Sun-Neptune conjunction
mm-hmm.
to too
yeah.
suspicious,
mm-hmm.
too trusting to too suspicious, to too
mm-hmm.
trusting to too suspicious. What we're asking you to do is just keep your eyes open and walk forward one step at a time.
Right. Well, I know I've decided when I come back next time, I'm coming back as a blonde with a giggle, okay? None of this Venus Saturn stuff. I want to be a blonde with a cute little
you
giggle.
You have a great giggle,
I have
Anne.
A great giggle, but I want no inner life. I just want to be able to, like, not worry about what's going to happen if I get naked. Anna, you're with me on this, aren't you?
I'm with you, Anna.
You're with me.
I'm serious. I'm serious because this Venus in the second house, this is really crap.
Yeah.
And the loyalty thing, I mean, it's like once you do get naked,
uh-huh.
it's just like just a little bit too loyal for way too long.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's Scorpio. Yep.
Oh, man.
It's really hard. It's really hard. Next time, Anna, we're coming back with giggles, and, you know, we'll work it out in another way. But, yeah, our, you know, we do have karma in our relationship house because we both have Venus-Saturn aspects. But I'm like, damn, Heather, I got to test them, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have you date them for the first few dates, and then if you think they're good, you can pass them to me, okay? I'll send them out to North Dakota.
I believe deeply in the interview process. No doubt about it.
Well, I'm right. thinking a little less smartass and a little bit more giggle.
Right,
okay.
right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, cool. All right. Yeah, so you do have good relationships for it, Anna, so we wish you luck. And keep us posted. Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to the next caller because we have a few minutes.
Thanks much.
Right.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. I'm like listening going, Heather, I have to test. That's nothing like listening to the whatever. Hello, 914. How are you? Are you still out there?
I am. How are
you?
You
are. Hi, how are you?
Ann and Heather.
Mark
Hi,
hung
there.
Up because he was feeling sick. He told us he was going to leave us early. So if you guys heard the bing a few minutes ago, which is probably just as well because he would be going, oh, man, they're off on these topics again. all right, so who are you and what's your question?
Hi, this is Allison, and should I give you my birth information?
Sure, if you have a birth question
please.
About your chart. If you have just a question about life, we can answer those too.
I'd like to talk about, my birth information is, it's 1/31/1979.
Okie dokie. Time?
3:30 a.m.
What, 30?
Sorry?
What was the time again?
3:30 a.m.
3:30.
And
okay.
Where?
And in Oak Park, Michigan, and that's in Oakland County.
In Oakland as opposed to Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
Cool. Who knew there were two Oak Parks in Michigan? All right, Allison, yeah. So what's your question?
I kind of feel like just an overall, if you see anything that's coming up for me, career-wise, and I've kind of been in a limbo kind of thing going on, so I wanted to know what was coming up.
Okay. All right. Career-wise, it looks like you've been a lot of job change, especially in September. Did you change work in September or in the early fall?
This year?
Uh-huh.
No, not really, no.
Okay, because you've got Saturn in your midheaven, and it's January 31st, 79, 3:30 in the morning, right? Pardon?
That's what I expected, because I was looking at my chart, nothing happened. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think with that in the midheaven, you know, usually Saturn coming to your midheaven is some kind of change or a promotion or some kind of recognition in your field. And it also was opposite your moon, and the moon for you is how you're valued by other people. So often that shows up as a work or career thing. You've also got Jupiter in the second house, so you're starting a new 12-year cycle around how you make your money or what you do for your work. Did you have career changes?
So wait, what kind of work do you do so that can help us figure out which house to look for?
Sure.
And it's a question about Are you in a job that you're feeling a little limbo about, or are you out of work and thinking about trying to get into work?
I work in the arts and as an art curator.
Okay.
But for the last year,
marvelous.
It's hard right now with jobs, and I've been taking up part-time jobs, which has been lovely. I've been
right.
like babysitting and things. But I just was, and I do projects. I do like independent. I do my curating projects, and I'm kind of wondering if I'm just going to be a curator from now on. So
now, did you start recently working with? Do you work with modern art or old art?
Contemporary, yeah.
Okay. Because with Saturn going through your 10th house, if you were working with antiques, that would be very good for your work. If it's not antiques, then your work is feeling a little stuck. because Saturn has to do with age and history. But it does look to me like your personal authority is growing in your field. So go ahead and continue with the part-time work and notice that your portfolio is growing. That people are taking you seriously. For the next 2 years with Saturn going through your 10th house, it feels important. And especially if you can write anything, because Mercury rules is in your house of finances and it rules your midheaven, your career. That if anything that you can write as a curator or not in your awareness that works in modern art, you can see the big picture. You can see patterns. You can see the movements. You can see what appeals to, you know, the group, the collective with that lineup in Aquarius. So if you can find ways of that, you know, it's worrying about not so much the income as the reputation and growing your reputation. Worrying about it not meaning that it's a problem, but that's where your emphasis should be, on growing your sense of authority in your field for the next 2 years. And that begins to support you financially afterwards. So the next 2 years look like, you know, for you, it's you may feel like you're working more than you're getting paid, but every bit of that will help you in the long run.
Okay.
It's a real investment in the big picture.
Cool. I've been actually...
Yep. Nope. Go ahead. We have the way this phone is set up. It's hard, you know. When you talk, one of us can't hear you. So say it again, one more time.
Sure. I was just saying I've been studying astrology for a couple of years. I thought that would be a good way to have another income, and I just love it. So I actually wanted. I'm trying to combine like my love of arts with my love of spirituality, and
good.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good. Do you do tarot too? Because you have a very strong imagery-based chart. You know, a lot of the images of tarot would work. All your Aquarius planets are really good for the astrology because the math and the pattern spotting and the seeking. And the Virgo is highly retentive. It holds the details and the facts and the mythology. You have Saturn and Virgo on the North Node. But you also have that Moon in Pisces. So I would say to you, kind of the going with the flow and kind of catching that inner wisdom of it. And you got a lovely, so with Jupiter in your second house, that would make a lot of sense in your second this year going into your third. That makes a lot of sense to learn a new language that you can then make money from over the next 12 years.
Very cool.
I don't know that you would be reading people like one-on-one, but I think if you signed up to do like working in the collective or working in the parties or working with your friends, you know, and doing your friends, there's a lot of opportunity in that because of the location. Are you still living in Oak Park, Michigan?
No, I'm in New York. I come to.
You're in New York, okay. So
yeah.
When we move you to New York, that can very much shift your. Because then you're gonna. If we move planets,
yes,
the 11th.
Huh?
Yeah,
that shifts.
It changes stuff. when you relocate the chart.
It
changes, moves houses. Shifts.
Yeah, so you can definitely do stuff, making money, doing readings and stuff. One-on-one. You know, I would do it more like working someplace and having people come to you rather than like sitting home and waiting for people. But you could definitely do that with this chart. And with the Moon in Pisces, you're highly psychic. And you did do this like before. You know, you're naturally gifted
right.
at it with that Pisces moon.
Uranus in the 12th, too.
And Uranus in the 12th, right.
Okay.
And yeah, so we definitely love the astrology. Totally, totally go for that.
Yay.
And I think Anne's point about the tarot and imagery, that your intuition may come in forms and images, and to practice There's, you know, some wonderful books on psychic development that use imagery. And I think that your intuition really speaks to you in form and shape and color. Mm-hmm. And even when you're working with astrology, it's the patterns and shapes that astrology forms that are really speak to you. So use that as your way in to that kind of work.
Okay,
yeah,
one
great entrance to it. Yep, another question?
I think I'm okay.
I'm surprised you didn't get some kind of promotion with Saturn on the midheaven. Maybe when we get a little further into this, like in August when he comes to square, or in April rather, I'm sorry, when he comes to get a little more active with your time. What's your birth certificate source? Your birth time source?
Wait, what does that mean?
Where did you get your time from? Birth certificate, mom?
Birth certificate?
Yeah, from your birth certificate?
Yeah, how come you're asking?
Well, because usually with the angles that active, there should be more career stuff going on. That's what makes me think that, you know.
Well, what makes me feel with her chart is that if she is working even part-time in the arts, in this economy, that was a raise. If the economy had been in better shape, you would have gotten some more responsibility loaded on your plate, and with that, a raise, you know, more money. But with the economy the way it is, any work at all that you're doing in the arts right now, because I see Saturn in the 10th house often means more responsibility, and sometimes that comes with money and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
But it really is an opportunity to take yourself seriously in your work.
Yeah.
And you might find that with that Saturn in your 12th house, in your 10th house for the next 2 years, when in doubt, work with older things. It may be older art. It may be antiques. It may be learning, you know, the old art of astrology and understanding more about traditional astrology during this time. But see if there is elements from the past that you can bring up that would really support your work.
Okay.
Mhm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So was it a birth certificate that you got the time? Okay. Well, just check it. You know, because sometimes it's a pretty strong T square. You know, because it's the Venus, Neptune, Moon, and then midheaven. So I usually see that as really a pretty activated thing, and that would have been like in September. So. But, you know, who knows? Maybe the time is what it is. So, but you do have some lovely progressions coming up. And I would say to you that looking in December when Jupiter and Neptune meet on the Vesta, there can also be some kind of new home that you find around that time. So that's kind of something to look at. And either it can be a new home in your work or a new home physically. So you've got some lovely aspects coming. So, and Saturn on the North Node in Virgo, it really does have a, you know, there's a working thing. But I see, Heather, I'm looking at that Saturn ruling her second and thinking, you know, it should be more money coming. So, I don't know.
Good.
Yeah. So, well, cool. All right. Any other questions, Allison?
Is anybody else waiting on the line or?
Yep, we got one more, I think. Yeah.
Okay, we should probably take them because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, we're almost out of time. Okay, bye, Allison.
You.
All right. Bye. Actually, we have 90 seconds left. We're done, I think.
Okay. So next person, please do call us in or email us your questions.
Email your
question and we'll answer it early next week.
Yeah, we'll answer it early first up next week. Sorry about that. And so, at any rate, Mark left us because he was going to go to bed. He was like, I'm going to do the weekly weather and then I'm going to hang up. So he hung up, and it's been Heather and I, Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side, and my cohort on the line is
Heather... Heather Rowan Robin speaking to you from North Dakota.
Yeah.
And if you want to find out more about us, you can go to astronyc.com.
Yep.
Or find us on the radio blog post.
Yeah. And we get together every week at this time from 11 to 12 on Monday night Eastern Standard, and we talk about the week ahead. So it's a brief, and then we take callers. You know, calls from the callers who ask us questions. So the week ahead, remember, we've got that Sun squaring Neptune, and we have Mercury squaring Neptune, so you're going to find out some secrets. We have Saturn squaring Pluto, so you're going to have some intense experiences. We got Neptune moving direct. We got Mars opposite everybody, fighting.
And we have a new moon in Scorpio.
And we have a really cool new moon in Scorpio that we'll talk about next week on. And also, if you look up in the sky, it's the Leonids meteor showers. So watch for fire in the sky because there is some. And it isn't always there, but it's up there now. So at any rate, this is Ann Ortley saying goodbye. And?
Heather Rowan Robbins. Have a great week.
And Mark already left. Bye.
Yes, Mark goes bye.